Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a delight to be with you this morning, and thank you so much to the pastors for extending this invitation to speak to you in your series on engaging the world on the topic of including people with special needs. This is a very important topic for the church, and I'm so glad that PSPC is so forward-looking in engaging us in such a way. Peter has already gone off, but I also like to thank Peter, actually, just for his testimony. Peter has actually served alongside us here in Kin as well. I was thinking of, in fact, showing a video that he had filmed for us, but I think it's much better to hear him live. As you heard, my name is Wen Pin, and I serve alongside my colleagues who are here today, Sherry and Teresa, who are in the pews. We serve together in an organization called Kin, that is a disability mission organization that helps churches to include people of all abilities, including those with special needs. In particular, we look after people specifically with autism, intellectual disability, ADHD, and dementia. We focus more on those disabilities because they are particularly challenging for the church. Before I start my sermon, let me just share a little bit more about Kin. Kin supports churches in three ways. So first of all, we equip churches in the area of disability inclusion through sermons like these, through workshops, through training, and even direct consultancy with the church. Second, we also resource churches by publishing helpful resources that are very practical, written by Singaporeans for Singaporeans. And in fact, after the service, as Pastor Kevin has mentioned, you can go to our book table to see some of these resources, and maybe they might be helpful for you. And third of all, we network churches by bringing leaders and volunteers together in communities of practice where they can support one another. So thank you so much for having me here. I'm delighted to be here and hope that this will be perhaps the start of a partnership together where we can continue to love and serve alongside our brothers and sisters with special needs. Now, before we begin proper, let us prepare our hearts in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and generous heart. We know that even before we had a thought about inclusion, you were the one who first included us through the precious work of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, as we come now to your word, we ask that through the Spirit, that you help our hearts listen carefully so that our hearts can beat in time with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I first started working with churches in the area of inclusion, the most frequent question that churches would ask me is, why should the church include people with special needs? What is the reason for inclusion? And I would share with them many reasons. For example, I would say that disability is common. One out of 14 people in Singapore has a disability of some kind, and that's about one person in every small group, in every cell group, in every Bible study group. There should be one person with a disability if we are reflective of the demographics of Singapore. And so a church that is not inclusive of persons with special needs is actually irrelevant to the world that God commands us to reach out to. I will also share with them that disability is growing. This is mainly driven in Singapore by our aging society. As you may know, Singapore is officially known as a super-aged society. According to MOH, by 2030, we will have 152,000 people in Singapore with dementia alone. In fact, all of us, if we live long enough, will eventually become disabled. It is not a reality that we can walk away from. And of course, on top of these practical reasons, I will also share with them the many, many biblical reasons for inclusion. For example, the Great Commission that calls all of us to reach out to all peoples, including people with special needs. I will also share with them about God's special love for the marginalized, which also includes people with special needs, and so on and so on. But you know, recently, churches have started to ask me the why question less. They aren't asking why so often anymore. In fact, the top question that they are asking me now is how. How can we love people with special needs? And in particular, how can we include people with special needs into our churches? And I see this as a positive development that the church already starts to understand how important it is, and they want to get involved in inclusion. Well, that's the purpose of this sermon, to help us answer this question of how. I want to give you the answer up front, okay? Just in case you miss anything, I'll tell you the answer up front, you'll get the message for today, and I will summarize it in one word: empathy. Empathy. The first step to loving people with special needs is empathy. Empathy is what must drive our love for people with special needs. But what is empathy, you may ask? Well, it's the ability to understand the feelings, the thoughts, and experiences of another person despite not having gone through the same experiences. So empathy helps us to understand what it means to walk in another person's shoes, to feel the bumps on the road of their life. Moreover, an empathetic person does not just understand another person's thoughts, but is also able to reflect it back to them, to help them know that their thoughts and their feelings are appreciated. If you think about it, empathy is at the heart of what Christ did for us when he became human. As the late Tim Keller observes, Christ literally walked in our shoes and entered into our affliction. And in saying this, Keller is simply echoing the book of Hebrews, which says that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Friends, we have a God who empathizes. In fact, we have the God of empathy. He loves us by standing with us in our pain, because on the cross, Jesus knew our pain. And so today, as we ask the question of how to love people with special needs, I want to help us develop empathy. Because empathy is what we need to love them. And to help us to do this, I will be preaching from a single verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. As you heard from Peter just now, I would like you to memorize this. It's a single verse. So as I read it just now for you again, try to get it into your minds right now, okay? Let me read it to you. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can you read it together with me one more time? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Very good. Let's make sure we get that into our minds by the end of the sermon. Now, this verse comes towards the end of the book of Galatians. And like any good Bible reader, we must make sure that we understand context. And so I want to give you a brief overview of the book of Galatians so that you understand the context of this verse. Let me summarize it quickly. You see, the big issue of the book of Galatians is that Paul, the author, was trying to correct wrong teaching. And that wrong teaching was that Christians must obey practices in the law of Moses to be saved, practices like circumcision. But of course, this is false, and that Paul says instead that what makes a Christian is faith. Faith in the gospel. The gospel that declares that we are all sinners, that Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and that if we trust in him, we will be raised like him. So if we have faith in him, we will be saved. However, like any good pastor, Paul is also concerned that his teachings are not taken to the extreme. So even though Paul says that obeying practices in the law of Moses does not save you, he is not throwing out the law completely either. Instead, he says this in chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. He says, "Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, Paul is saying that the law has value. The law has value to guide our behavior as followers of Jesus. But the way you truly fulfill the law is not by things like circumcision, but by loving. So it is on this point about loving as fulfilling the law that Paul elaborates on using our sermon verse for today. Let's say this again together. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can you see that? Because when you bear one another's burdens, Paul is saying, that is when you truly love and that is when you truly fulfill the law of Christ. So having done this overview of the book of Galatians, we see that it is not ritualistic behavior that fulfills the law, but bearing one another's burdens that fulfills the law. So how? Right? The question is how? Practically speaking, what does that look like? What does it mean to bear another's burdens? I want to address this especially for persons with special needs, our focus for today. Now, maybe when you're faced with a person with special needs, or you meet a family who has a member, a child with special needs, some of us might want to immediately spring into action and quickly offer suggestions to help. Have you done this? Have you done that? It's a very Singaporean thing to do, actually. But before you do that, maybe wait a minute. Because doing that can often make things worse. Because you haven't understood what the family, what the person is going through, what the family, what the person has already considered. In fact, it often makes the person you're trying to help more frustrated because they feel that others, even those trying to help them, don't truly understand what they are going through. It can even make them feel more alone. Perhaps you yourself have already experienced something like this, where someone is trying to offer a solution to you, but hasn't quite even heard you out. I can see quite a few of you nodding your heads. It is frustrating and alienating. And that's why bearing one another's burdens must begin with empathy. Before we help, we need to build a connection, a relationship, an understanding, and a bond of trust. Or to put it simply, if you want to bear another person's burdens, you must first bear their heart. Now, I used to be a school teacher before I went into full-time ministry, and there is a very popular saying in teaching circles that reflects this. The saying is this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Some time ago, I was talking to the father of two children with autism, and this is what the father said to me. He said, "Do you know what makes parents like us frustrated? It is sympathy. We don't want sympathy. We want empathy." And to elaborate on his point on the difference between sympathy and empathy, he pointed me to a video by Dr. Brené Brown on the difference between the two. In that video, Dr. Brown notes that sympathy starts with the words, "at least." Oh, you have a son with autism? Well, at least his autism is mild. Oh, your daughter has learning difficulties in school? Well, at least she has a place in school. We may not be so crass as to say things in this particular way, but perhaps we have done something similar in the past. You see, the problem with such sympathy is that it doesn't enter into the pain of the other. It just appears to care while actually keeping the other person at a distance. This kind of sympathy implies to the other person that their current pain is not valid, but rather they should be thankful because things could be worse for them. But Dr. Brown observes that empathy doesn't do that. Empathy enters into the pain of the sufferer. Empathy says to the person in pain, wow, I don't even know what to say right now, but I'm so glad that you told me so that we can share this together. You see, empathy seeks to know the feelings of another. Empathy lets the other know that their feelings are known. And empathy says, I want to stand with you in your pain. You are not alone. And I really care for you. Indeed, Scripture calls us to such empathy. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, the church is instructed to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. We are commanded to empathy. This command to empathy is then repeated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, when Paul says of the body of Christ that if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Friends, we are accustomed to using our money and our resources to help others. But before you open your wallet to help another person, open your heart to help them. Because the way that we feel for others, the way that we steward our emotional lives and our relationships to help others, that is just as important as the way we use our finances and resources to help them. This is foundational to bearing another person's burdens. So friends, if you really want to empathize, then the first and foremost thing you must do is to listen. And I mean really listen. You see, the book of James in 1:19 tells us that every person should be quick to hear and slow to speak. In fact, the book of Proverbs puts this even more forcefully when it says that a fool takes no pleasure in understanding but only in expressing his opinion, and then later on says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. As I told you, I'm a teacher, so forgive me, I'm going to quiz you right now. So friends, what do we use to listen? What do we use to listen? And because I'm a teacher, you probably know that this is a trick question. And clearly the answer is not your ears. And I know that's not the answer because some years ago, I had the privilege of joining a group of deaf Christians for a discussion session. And you know what? I was the only person there who was not deaf, who didn't know sign language. And so I was the person who was disabled. I was the person that needed the interpreter. But you know, at the end of the day, I still had a great time with my fellow deaf brothers and sisters. We heard each other's struggles. We continue to keep up our conversation. We came together as one. And it started a friendship that continues to this day in the work that we do in KIN. You know, I learned that day from my deaf brothers and sisters that you don't listen with your ears. You listen with your heart. You listen with your heart. In fact, just now, as I was worshiping alongside you, I loved the song that we sung, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You see, in order to see God, we don't see Him with our eyes. We see Him with our heart. And in the same way, when we want to get to know our brothers and sisters with special needs, we don't listen with our ears. We listen with our hearts. After all, listening to another person is not just about taking in information. It is important to do that, but it's more than that. What families with special needs want is that as you listen, you show that you understand their hopes, but also their laments. They need to know that you are concerned about their children, that you know their children's names. You see, listening is not just absorbing information. Listening is laughing with them and crying with them, as Romans teaches us. It's hugging them when they need a hug. And it's saying at just the right moment to them that God loves you and that you have already done the best you can for your children. That's what active listening is about. And sometimes, you know, when I speak to churches, people ask me, Pastor, do we need to be a psychologist, a therapist, a special educator? Do we need all those professional skill sets in order to include people with special needs? And don't get me wrong, of course, it is valuable to have such professional expertise within the church. But there are many things we can do that do not require special training. And one of those things is listening. Let me illustrate this a little bit more. Some time ago, one of my friends, Miss Brenda Tan, you'll be able to see her face on the screen right now, she's a mother of a son with autism, and she shared with me the findings of a survey that she did with persons with autism. She asked them this question: how can people be a friend to you? And the answers given were quite instructive. Let me share with you some of them. They said this. First of all, say hi. Say hi. Listen. Listen to my issues and my point of view first. Do not jump straight into telling me about God and the Bible. Next slide, please. I want you to pay attention to the last one. Note that what the last person is saying, the person is not saying, don't tell me about the Bible, right? The person is saying, hear me out first so that you know how to share the Bible with me. Here are some other replies. Next slide, please. Understand my different interests. Listen to my struggles. Talk to me patiently. Give me words of encouragement to press on. So this is what we spoke about just now, about listening with the heart. Let me give you one more set of replies. Be seen with me. Let me feel that I am not invisible. This last set tells us that listening also means giving people your presence, your time, and your affirmation. So this is how we give empathy, how we bear one another's burdens. Friends, again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all we should do, that the only thing we should do is to listen and to empathize, and then we can wash our hands off the person. That would be terrible. But what I am saying is that the very first step we ought to take to bear another's burdens is to listen and to empathize. But of course, true empathy never ends with no action, because empathy will act and empathy will take action. And after all, Scripture clearly says that we are to render practical help to others in need. And so, for example, the book of James says that if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's dead. The Christian faith is dead when it is not lived out in loving action. So after we have listened and empathized, from that connection that we have built, we then act in love and we act in understanding. So for example, as you empathize with a family, with a child with special needs, and let's say you sense that loneliness is an issue for them. That's often quite common. Persons with special needs often have difficulties having friends, especially with persons without special needs. What can you do? Consider inviting them to your home for dinner, for example. Or let's say you listen further and you realize that traveling is actually quite difficult for them. Then maybe you can invite yourself over for dinner, but you bring dinner lah, and you make sure you bring the things that they like to eat. Or let's say you listen and you sense that exhaustion is an issue for the caregivers. And that, again, is a very common thing. You could consider to offer to give the caregiver some time off. Some of the churches I work with, what they do is they are small groups. They adopt families with special needs. They make sure that they get to know the family. They make sure that they get to understand how to care for the child. They learn from the parents what the child needs. And then once a month, they give the parents some time off. Instead, the whole small group comes and cares for that one child. And it's a lot simpler because it's a whole small group caring for one child, and the child already knows them. It's much less stressful for everyone involved. And in fact, those churches use it as an opportunity for the small group to grow together while serving a family with a child with special needs. You see, bearing one another's burdens does not require grand gestures of love, because simple acts of kindness can go a very, very long way. As the great humanitarian Mother Teresa was known to say, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. Only small things with great love. And friends, that's because we act in God's love. And so remember this. Empathy is not lazy, and empathy will act. And in particular, I want to draw your attention to one simple and profound thing that all of us can do to fulfill Galatians 6:2. The verse says, bear one another's burdens. And that means that we need to let people with special needs serve us as well, even as we serve them. Because empathy is not a one-way thing. Because love is not a one-way street. Love gives, but also love receives. In fact, one of the worst things that we can do for people with special needs is to pity them. To say, oh, poor thing. We must never assume that people with special needs have nothing to give to us, nothing to contribute, and it is we, the so-called able-bodied, that must offer charity to them. And if we do not get rid of this mindset, even if we have a disability ministry in a church, it will end up being paternalistic or even worse, condescending. So may this never be in the church. Instead, true empathy means recognizing that people with special needs are also equal members of the church. Scripture tells us that every member of the church has gifts to build up the church. And so persons with special needs are also equally gifted with spiritual gifts, and they are also called to serve others. They also want to serve others. Empathy means recognizing that there is a special dignity associated with service, and we must not take that away from people with special needs. Just because they are disabled doesn't mean they are unable. Our challenge, therefore, is to walk in step with the Spirit and to hear and to learn how the Spirit is working through them. You see, some time ago, I got to know a young man with autism called Aaron. You'll be able to see his face on the screen right now. Aaron's autism affects his social skills, as it does for many persons with autism. And so it's often challenging to hold a full conversation with him. And so because of this, you might be tempted to think that Aaron cannot serve in church. After all, church is such a social place. But you know, when I got to know Aaron a little bit better, I realized that he had a talent for art. He loves to paint and express himself, and his art is very beautiful. But you know what? Actually, that is just his surface gift. Because when I got to know him even better, I found out that he had another spiritual gift. And this is the gift of generosity. He loved to give to others and sacrifice for others. In fact, Kin has featured his artwork on many of our resources. And recently in our annual dinner, he even did this live painting on the spot for our fundraising dinner. That's his mother next to him, Diana. You know, I've tried many times to pay him because we think artists ought to be paid. But Aaron has always refused. He said, in fact, if I pay him, he will not stop working for us. Because his generous heart sees his art as an act of worship to God. He wants to serve. And in fact, he loves to serve. That's why Aaron is Kin's artist in residence today. See, friends, people with special needs like Aaron can bless us if we let them. In fact, the Spirit working through them has so much to give to us and so much to teach us. Can I please share with you one more point on this issue? Many years ago, when I first joined a church, I was quite nervous about whether my children would fit in. I'm a nervous father, please forgive me. And in particular, one time when we were going to Malacca for our first church camp, I was particularly scared that my oldest son would be lonely. Because we had just joined the church, I was scared that he had no one to play with. And so, kanchong lah, as a father. So I was praying to God and asking Him for His grace upon my family. And just interestingly, as we were boarding the coach to leave, one of my church friend's son, who has Down syndrome, somehow just decided to take my son's hand, pull him up the bus to the second floor, and sit right in front. I still remember. And the whole trip to Malacca, the two of them were laughing and playing all the way. I was just seated behind them, trying to not cry, actually. And thinking to myself, my gosh, this young man may have a disability, but that didn't stop him from being God's grace to me or my family. And I thank God for that. You see, my friends, as we empathize with people with special needs, we recognize that they too want to bear our burdens, because the call is for us to bear one another's burdens. Friends, as we come to the tail end of today's sermon, I want to come back one more time to our text for today. I want to help you memorize it. So let's read it together one more time. Let's do that. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, so far, we have been focusing on the first half of the verse, to bear one another's burdens. And so now, briefly, we should focus on the second half. The second half tells us that as we seek to empathize with families with special needs, as we serve them in action out of that empathy, as we empathize that they too want to serve us, when we do all of that, we as the church are collectively fulfilling the law of Christ. In other words, this is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to live as the church. Caring for families with special needs is not some kind of social fad that you do if you're woke or if you're cool. It is, in fact, very much at the heart of what it means to be Christian. Because empathizing with one another and loving one another is the beating heart of the church. As Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of John, He says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So, brothers and sisters, we started today by asking the question, how do we love people with disabilities? Now, Jesus has shown us the way. He is not a distant God who stands aloof from His people. He is the God who is near, who chooses to step into our lives, to step into our shoes. He is the God of empathy, who loves us as He hung for us upon the cross, and who calls us to love one another today. So may we follow in His footsteps as we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Jesus. We thank You for stepping into our world and our pain. We thank You for calling us to walk the same path that our Lord Jesus did. Help us now through Your Spirit to do so for persons with special needs, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.